This Sunday is the second last Sunday in our series about enjoying the presence of God. And in many ways, today we come to a bit of a tricky scripture. Might be difficult for us to think through. It's about knowing joy, or actually, can we know joy in the midst of trials? Can we enjoy God's presence while going through struggles? Think about it for a moment. The phone goes, and it's a salesperson on the other end of the phone. Most of us, you might just hang up straight away. Some of us might be polite enough to say, have a good day, not interested, and then hang up the phone. Or certainly not just now, maybe in the past you'd get a knock on the door, someone trying to sell you something, and your instinct might just be to close the door on their face. But you know, you're just trying as quickly as you can to be polite, but to close the door. You're something you're not interested in, something you don't want, and you're just trying to close the door or put the phone down. But we all know, though, that there are experiences and situations that we've all gone through, maybe going through just now, that you'd have loved to have been able to slam the door on them. You just don't want them coming into your life, but they have done. That can be really difficult. They have probably brought little joy to your life. And yet the text we come to today is saying something, saying consider it joy, as we're going to be in James chapter 1, when trials come into your life. You know, I don't know about you, but you maybe hear that and just think, how is this possible? You know, there's things in your life that you would have wanted to close the door on, don't come into my life, and then they've come in, and then we've got this text that we're going to wrestle with today, saying consider it joy, you know, when trials of many kinds come into your life. And we're going to see from God's word that we can know joy in trials because of what they can produce in our lives. Now, I know this might sound strange, even uncomfortable to hear. What I'm not saying is, let's go looking for trials. But we're going to see in God's word that things come to our door, things come into our house, things come into our life that can take us into a place of deeper reliance and deeper encounter with Jesus, where we rely less on self and more on Jesus. We can know God's strength and God's joy in the midst of these trials. I was thinking about the example of Jesus. You know, there he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours away from his trial and his crucifixion. And we read in Luke 22 that an angel of the Lord comes near to him, appeared to him, and strengthened him. There in that moment of trial, he knows this deep strengthening encounter. I read a story this week of a man called John Wilhelm Rountree, a Christian writer. He came out to the doctor and had been told that his advancing blindness could not be halted. He tells in the story, he stood by some railings for a few moments to collect himself. And then he writes this. Suddenly, he says, I felt the love of God wrap me about as though an invisible presence enfolded me, and a joy filled my life such as I had never known before. Here is this man, and he's told he's going to go blind, and he's talking about a joy in his life that he's never known before. Why? Because the presence of God enfolded him. Now, sometimes there are moments when we've got nowhere else to go to but to Jesus, and in those moments, His presence can be the strongest we've ever experienced it. And with his presence can come joy and hope and strength. But let's turn to God's word, James chapter 1. James, the brother of Jesus, is writing to the followers of Jesus dispersed across the Roman Empire. They're facing many challenges, persecution and struggles that come with that. What James calls trials of many kinds. We're going to hear God's words now, and Mark Whitelaw is going to read to us our scripture reading this morning. James chapter 1, verses verses 1 to 12.
James chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Thank you, Mark, for reading that to us today. You know, James writes with a real pastoral heart. He's very aware of the challenges they face. No point in him writing about anything else till he touches on the one big issue that they are dealing with. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. Don't ignore it. And maybe he's got a picture in his mind of a small group of disciples sitting and scattered across towns and villages, you know, persecuted, bullied, isolated, deprived, maybe confused, struggling. And he speaks to where they're at. Verse 2, he deals with it straight away. And what he says is incredible. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Trials of many kinds. Actually, let me put a wee more modern twist on that. We might say stresses of many kinds. And now, I want to actually just talk about stress for a moment. Firstly, stress does not always mean a distressful situation. Stress is really about how we respond to changes in our situation and circumstances. For example, you could be changing job, a new job that you're really excited about, really looking forward about, but in our complex bodies of hormones and chemicals and nerves, you know, reacts to that, and you can still experience some stress around a positive change in life. But stress, you know, as I was preparing this message, I really felt God, this was something that God wanted me to name today, as a trial and a struggle that many of you are facing. And a number of years ago, I read a book by a lady called Kate Middleton, a Christian lady called Refuel. And in this book, she gave a very helpful picture that has helped me to understand stress through the years. Now, you might be thinking, Mark, get back into the Word of God, preach. Well, let me say this. Preaching is about being true to the Word of God, very much so. But it's also about speaking into where people are at. And James writes to where people are at. And I think there are people listening today who are struggling with stress. And I just want to take a moment to speak into that. In her book, Kate Middleton, not the royal Kate, just talks about a stress baseline, and she gives a picture to understand this. And the picture of is, imagine you're standing in water, and where the water level is in your up to in your body represents the stress you're experiencing. So if it's down at your ankles or up at your knees, your waist or your neck or over your head, and she talks about our stress baseline, a healthy stress baseline, where the water is down at our ankles. That's a low stress baseline. And that's where your life is steady and life is balanced. But then she talks about how, you know, stress waves can come into our life that raise our kind of water level. So, you're working from home. You've got a big meeting coming up. The Wi-Fi goes down. And, you know, that's a stress wave. The stress levels go up as you try and fix your Wi-Fi. You know, or you realise you've forgotten to pay a bill and all of a sudden, oh, I need to get this paid today. It's a wee stress wave. But as long as our baseline is low, we can manage things well. But there are also times in our life where the water level is raised, where our stress baseline is raised, not just for a moment, but for a period of time, maybe a short period of time. You know, a big project at work that's got an end date, an exam, you know, you're moving house, all these things that have got end dates, and some of the things that our bodies go through at these times is good, you know, maybe like heightened alertness and focus, but the deadline brings a finish to it. And when you reach the deadline, you know, the stress baseline drops as well. And then we can have what she calls tidal wave days. You know, days, we know what it is, but everything just seems to go wrong. We get to the end of the day and we think, what else can go wrong today? The water is up round our necks or over our heads. But you know what, again, as long as we are starting with our stress baseline down at our ankles, we can cope with these. But where it gets really challenging is when our stress baseline is not at our ankles, but it's up around our waist or up around our chest. So when that stress wave comes, it's not going from ankle to waist, it's from waist to neck. Things that we could usually cope with, we find harder to deal with. And I think if we're all being honest, I know certainly during this pandemic, my stress baseline at times has not been down at my ankles. You know, I was making something the other week and I made a wrong cut and that I shouldn't have. And my reaction was Oscar worthy. I got really worked up about this mistake. And I was thinking about it later. And I was saying, why did I in many ways overreact to what happened? And I think it's because we were building up to one of these other announcements that we keep building up to, and my stress baseline was up, and you know, I'd heard that news about lockdown again and schools closed, and what does that mean for the church? And you know, those raised levels meant that when something happened that I would usually cope better with, you know, I overreacted. And I share this with you because I share this with you from God, because James deals with the elephant in the room. He deals with where they're at straight away. And I think many of us are struggling with stress. You know, our baselines are up a bit. And yet, in these moments, God has got something to say to us about joy. So let's come back to our text in James 1, chapter 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, you know, I've named one of those today, when we know stress. But James is not saying if, he's saying when. And James sums it up by saying that these troubles are of many kinds. That is a Greek word that refers to something that's varied or many colours. So no trial is the same. Your trial, my trial, different how you're dealing with the pandemic will be different from how I am and how others are. And this phrase, whenever you face trials of many kinds, also contains an expression that describes something that is unwelcome or unanticipated. Let's imagine it's summer. You know, it's been a cold week. Let's imagine it's summer. You've got all the windows open and a wasp flies in. That, certainly in my house, that is an unwelcomed guest. So these are the sort of trials that James is talking about. Yes, sometimes in life we take on things knowing that they'll bring a trial into life. But this text is talking about the sort of trials we want to slam the door on. But James turns our whole thinking upside down. You know, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That word joy, it's the same words that was used by the angel when it came to Zechariah, saying to him that you would, you know, his wife Elizabeth was going to give birth to a son, John the Baptist. He says, your son will be a joy and a delight to you. It's the same word that we read in Matthew 28, when the women have gone to the tomb where Jesus was laying. He's not there, he's risen. And they're running back to the disciples, and we read that they were afraid yet full of joy. James is not describing some lower tier joy. This is proper, kind of bursting from the inside joy. The NIV translates that as pure joy. Is James really saying to us, you got trials, then you got joy? Well, there's another important word here, and it's the word consider. It's a fascinating word. It can be used to describe someone who's leading the front of a parade, or someone who's in charge, or someone who's at the head. Imagine you're standing in a parade and you see the person at the front leading it. That you're looking forward, looking frontwards to them. It can also just mean to think. You know, I can remember at school, some of my school teachers at primary school were very strict in how they made you line up in front to come in at break time. And you would hear the words, eyes to the front, you know, keep looking ahead, front facing. And I think when James is talking about joy, and he's using this word consider here, part of what he's trying to get us to do is to keep our eyes to the front. You know, there is a joy because of what is being, well, he goes on and says it, doesn't he? Look in your Bible, produced in your life. What is forward from where we are at the moment can actually bring joy. Testing times can produce fruit. And I think we have to hold on to this just now. I genuinely believe it's these testing times that we're going through. You know, God is at work, that there will be fruit produced. You know, there was a fantastic turnout at Alpha during the week. Keep Alpha in your prayers and the people that are on it, because there are people searching and people asking questions, and we just want to pray that God meets them where they're at. You know, but fruit can be produced in times of trials. The book of Job is a book that recounts one man's deep, deep struggles. I mean, he loses everything. And Job says at one point, and I've actually got this highlighted in my Bible, chapter 23, verse 10, he says, but he knows where I am going. He's talking about God, he is. And when he tests me, when God tests me, I will come out as pure gold. He's talking about a refining process that changes him for the better. Job's doing something. He's got his eyes to the front. And this is tough. I know it can be tough to think about, but you know, God, and I know God's working in my life during this time. You know, think about Hebrews 12. The writer of the Hebrews talks about us fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. You know, eyes to the front. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. There's that word again. Think about him, who endured such opposition from sinners. Keep Jesus at the front of your life so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus looked beyond the cross, looked beyond the trials to what was coming afterwards, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider, you know, look to him. Keep Jesus at the front of your life. What can bring us joy then in the midst of trials? What is being produced in our lives? Well, God's word highlights a number of things for us. Verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. One of the fruits that come out of trials is perseverance. Maybe again, a more modern word for us might be resilience. You know, that ability to keep going, to bounce back from setbacks, to adapt successfully to changes in our circumstances. You know, we've got examples of that in the Bible. You know, we see like someone like the prophet Jeremiah. You know, he called to be a prophet of God. What? He was treated so badly at times. I think at one point he was flung in a cesspit at one point, you know. And yet he kept going. He kept persevering. He was faithful to God. Another word that maybe flows out of perseverance is that word overcomer. John 16, I love these verses. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. There's a word for us. You will have trouble, but take heart. And then Jesus says, I have overcome the world. You know, there are times where, you know, you can see, I wonder even right now, can you see God helping you overcome some of your struggles? Can you see God helping you persevere? And when you can see that, actually that brings a joy into your life. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, I thought I would fall apart, you know, but praise God, he's keeping me going. Verse 3, you know, it was talking then about the fruits that come out of trials, growing in that ability to persevere, to keep going with God's help, to trust in him. We go into verse 4, let perseverance finish its work. God's doing something in our lives through testing time. Maturity is the second point, though, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Maturity and complete, that's a picture of wholeness. You know, one of my favourite quotes, I know I've shared this before, is by a lady called Joni Erickson Tara. As a young woman, she broke her neck, became a quadriplegic, has lived an amazing life. Over 50 years from her accident, she said this. I actually keep this article in my journal, tucked at the back, and I bring it out and read it sometimes. And let me just read you a little quote from it. She says this: suffering is not something you would normally choose. I certainly didn't want paralysis. But remember, it's your Saviour who decides that firmness for you, rather than you for it. And he first sifts every terrible trial that touches you through his wise and loving fingers. Your trials are stepping stones to spiritual maturity. The testing is not meant merely to prove your strength, but to increase it. Now, God looks to mature us and strengthen us through the trials that come our way. And I wonder, can you see that in your life today? And where you're maturing, going deeper in his love, where you're becoming stronger in his strength, where you're becoming more like Jesus. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about us being sanctified through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about this incredible work of the Spirit in our lives to keep us more and more becoming like Jesus. See, there is joy to be found in knowing that we're growing stronger, that we're growing in perseverance, and that we're maturing. You know, and you might not think that's not something to be joyful about, but think about it for a moment. Think maybe, you know, I watch Lauren learning the piano, and I watch her maybe start a new piece, and she's struggling. But then as the weeks goes on, she gets better and better, and therefore there's incredible joy in going from not being able to play a piece to being able to play a piece. And we get to celebrate the joy of God just working in our lives. You know, I was there, and God's been working and maturing me and growing me, and wow, I can see God's hand in my life. And that is a really joyful thing and a really exciting thing to experience in your life. James goes on and he talks about those that lack wisdom. You know, if you're struggling with something, in verse 6 he says, ask. The key thing is to then do what God reveals to you. But I want to jump ahead because I know time's rolling on, and there is only so long that you can probably bear looking at me on your TV screen or your mobile. So I want to jump to verse 12. Verse 12, we read this: blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because, you know, James is in many ways repeating what he's already said in verses 2, 3 and 4. He's kind of summarizing it in this one line: blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Eyes to the front, that eternal perspective, that crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him, where we will be with Jesus. You know, as we come to conclude, let me name one of the trials I think many of us is facing. It is that trial of stress. And let me encourage you to maybe think about where your stress baseline is at. And again, maybe how that's affecting how you're reacting to things, to relationships, to others. Let me give you some practical tips to help you if you're feeling a bit stressed out. I've written these in my journal. You know, I didn't keep the source of this. So I've just written in my journal, and I thought I'm going to share that with folks. Firstly, start your day in prayer and scripture. I cannot encourage you enough, even if it's just one verse and one moment of just saying, God, thank you that you're with me. Start your day in some way acknowledging that God's in your life and that he's with you, and take some sort of gold nugget from his word into your heart at the start of the day. Practice gratitude. Remain thankful. Something I've spoken of often during this time. You know, just, you know, list them if you have to. God, today I'm thankful that I woke up in a warm house, or something like that. Thirdly, where possible, exercise. We know that exercise is good for us. I know that's maybe been difficult with slippy paths, but I was speaking to someone and they kind of have a wee route where they walk around their house, you know, and just to get a bit of exercise, you know. Fourth, have something to focus on in the day. You know, have a task that you're going to do, because sometimes part of your raised stress might be just through the isolation. So give yourself something to do. Have relational touch points. You know, have folks in your life that you can talk to. And, you know, let me encourage you again about the prayer buddies. Maybe that's something you would think about. And finally, and this is one I'm just adding myself, and this is particularly for those of us who are working from home, have an end point to your working day. Because the danger from working at home is the day just goes on, and you know, and you're checking emails still at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night. Set yourself an end point to your day that you can put the work down and just relax and do other things. So there's some tips, maybe some just helpful things to help us all keep that baseline low. But as we're coming back to our text, let me also encourage you to have your eyes to the front. We can know deep joy in our souls, and we can be growing as we're growing, as we're maturing, as being transformed, as we're becoming more like Jesus. And you know, there's joy to be found in the fruit that comes out of testing times. You know, we've touched on this a few times over the months, but you know, ask God, where are you growing me at this time? What are you saying to me? You know, look back and think, wow, you know what? Yeah, God was with me there. God's grown me through that. And that's something that can actually bring joy to our lives. You know, I know these are still very testing times. But I want to encourage you. You know, what were Jesus' words? Take heart. Take heart today. God is working in your life. And that alone is a reason to know joy, knowing that God is by your side and God is working in your life. So let's just pray into this for a moment before we come back to worship. Father God, each of us knows that and have experienced things that troubles that we've not been able to close a door on. They have come into our lives. And we've been reflecting about that as we've been looking at your word today. And in some ways, it almost sounds a bit mysterious, this sense of joy in trials. But we know as we read your word, as we read your whole word, we read account after account of people that have been through hard times, and yet you've been with them. And they've grown. They've grown in their love for you. They've grown in their walk with you. They've grown in their... they've enjoyed the encounters with you that they've never had in other times. And we know that, you know, the joy has come in the morning. And Lord, I pray for each of us listening today. Help us to know joy. That deep joy that writer spoke about after he'd been given that bad news, that incredible joy where he was just so aware of being surrounded by your presence, Father. Lord, I pray that for each of us listening right at this moment, Lord, there would just be an increase in awareness of your presence around them and your love surrounding them and your love pouring into their lives. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling for stress today. Lord, we know that there's no instant fix to this, but I pray that you would help them to be aware of it, help them to be careful, help them to just build in some good places, good practices in their life. You know, help them to just come to you. A bruised reed you will not break, a smouldering wick you will not put out. That's Isaiah 42. In fact, at the start of that section of scripture, just come to my mind, you talk about how you delight in us. And even in that place of stress, Lord, you delight in us. And we're not perfect, we never will be perfect. It's not about your delight in us, it's not about us being perfect, it's actually about your incredible love and grace to us. But Father, I just pray that for anyone really struggling with stress, that you would help them to maybe ask for help. If they're just needing to speak to someone about it, they would ask for help. And that you would just help them to help that stress baseline to come down. Jesus, you gave us those great words, I think it was in John 16, where you said, take heart. And I just pray that for all of us, that we would just take heart and overcome, because we stand in your strength. We stand in your love. And we just thank you for this, Father God. And we come to worship you now. We come to lift our eyes up to you. We come to raise our voices to you, our hearts and our minds, to give you all the glory and all the praise that you are worthy of now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. There's a place for me. I'm a child. is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I find my freedom at the cross. I find my freedom at the cross, where my sin was crucified. Jesus brought me back to life. I find my freedom at the cross. I find forgiveness in your blood. I find forgiveness in your blood. Once for all, my Savior died. Jesus, I owe you. Thank you for this amazing freedom you brought us unto through Jesus. We recognize it's through his sacrifice on the cross, but thank you for the amazing and glorious resurrection. You have brought us into this new life, this freedom that we have in Jesus, this unending life, life in all its fullness. Father, we bless you, we praise you, we lift your name high, Jesus, and we thank you. We want you to know that we love you. And I pray a blessing on everybody watching, that they would know the reality of that freedom that you have won for them, Jesus. You would help them to understand it, to experience it now and the rest of today and tomorrow, unending. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for joining with us today for our time of worship. You know, I mentioned in the message about, you know, that word stress, and if that is something that you are struggling with, then you know, we're here to help. Please do get in touch with us, and you know, if we can pray for you or try and maybe signpost you or just chat with you about that. Also, you know, keep remembering folks in your prayers, you know, all the key workers that are still out there doing an incredible and amazing job, and we're so thankful for them, so keep them in your prayers as well. And talking about prayer.
Yeah, tonight at 6:30 over Zoom, we've got our weekly prayer time, which is a great opportunity to be supported, to be built up and encouraged as church family. So please do tune in to that with us over Zoom.
Brilliant. And so thanks for joining us again, and we'll see you next week. God bless.